What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best in your sports talk for Tuesday, July the 23rd. I'm your host, D.A. Another day, another story coming out of Cleveland Browns land. There is so much attention on a team that was sub-500 last year and 0-16 the year before that, that it's kind of jarring. It's staggering how many people have so much to say and have so many thoughts about a Browns organization that has not been to the playoffs since 2003. As I've always said, they are our nation's most interesting losers, but can they become winners? Well, in the offseason, they added a guy that's got Pro Bowl caliber talent, perhaps Hall of Fame caliber talent, to their roster. Cleveland Browns, of course, traded for Odell Beckham Jr. earlier in the spring. And now he's got a feature article in GQ in which he blasts the New York Giants and says he was disrespected by the organization and the city. So here's WFAN's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts in New York responding.
With a rookie head coach, with a second-year quarterback, and all these guys on his young guys in his team and have won nothing, okay? So there's they're being anointed. But, I mean, when I hear stuff like that from Beckham, I mean, what are you kidding me? You did so much for the franchise? What the hell did you do? Well, you made one great catch? Oh, yeah, you were a great wide receiver. Okay, great. Come on. Are you serious?
Please. There's too much noise from Cleveland about the Giants.
Yeah, really?
Because
what is he talking about?
What
right?
You missed last week was Baker Mayfield making a very ignorant comment that now Odell's going to have fans who actually show up and appreciate him.
Oh, they don't show up. The Giant fans don't show up.
It was a stupid
comment. What are you kidding me?
It was so ignorant, I would even not even be mad about it. Please. I would just say this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But enough about the Giants. Enough. The Giants made a decision to trade Odell Beckham. We talked about it. We had debates about it. We had some saying it was a big mistake by the Giants. We had some saying it was great. They're glad he's gone. It's freaking over.
Yep. Yep.
Odell is not a Giant anymore. So I know that GQ is going to ask you questions, but it's very easy to say, hey, I had a great time with the Giants. I'm not there anymore. Ask me about Cleveland. But instead, he's obsessed. Get over it. You're not here anymore. And if there was any chance of Giant fans showing him love a year from now when they come back and play them, I don't think that's going to happen now.
No, I wouldn't be, no.
Because I think
there'll
even
be
those...
no love. Look, there was a lot of, look, to me, it was 50-50 that they liked him anyway. I mean, half the Giant fan base didn't like the guy.
Well, but
to
now
start
it's,
with.
But now it's not 50-50.
Right. No, I understand, but that's what I'm saying. So already you got 50% of the fan base against you. So if, now, for, like you said, forget about it now.
Yeah. The horse has been beat.
Yep.
It really has. The horse has been beat up over and over and over again. Enough is enough. He's in Cleveland.
Yep.
They have a very big mouth team over there.
Yep.
They have won nothing. That's done nothing.
Yep.
They have a lot of expectations over there. They're in a very tough division. The Ravens and Steelers will be competent. At least they'll be competent.
Look, I think watch out for Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Watch out.
So I would think that for Odell and for Baker and for everybody else, they should worry about their own damn business. The Giants are in a completely different place right now. There are not high expectations for the Giants.
No, right.
This is expected to be a down year for the Giants with 2020 being that target year.
Well, I think the thing for the Giants is when will Daniel Jones play?
Yeah.
That's probably what you're looking at going into the season.
No question. That's going to be the biggest storyline, the quarterback situation. So just enough. When I saw this morning.
Yeah, that's terrible.
My reaction was... can we just move on, Odell?
Yeah, yeah.
This is on you. This isn't the media's creation. This is you. You didn't have to say anything and to basically walk around like you're the brand. I kept the Giants afloat. You barely played the last couple
really,
of years.
It's unbelievable. Like, and again, to me, I did so much for the franchise. What'd you do? He did so much for the franchise, bro. What did he do? Sell jerseys? What did he do?
No, he did sell. He did that.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
But you know what this interview does, and I was mostly on the side of, I don't want to say defending Odell, but I thought that some Giant fans were too harsh on him. But on a day like today, I read this interview, and I say, they were right for moving on from him.
Yeah.
It ain't worth it.
To me, Odell's a me guy. It's about Odell. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, that to me is the bottom line with him. It's all about him.
Yeah.
And now, with the spotlight really on him now, I mean, now the spotlight's totally on him and his team. They are the trendy team. Everybody loves them. You know, the Browns haven't won in a million years. You know, everybody loves them. Well, we're going to see how good this team is.
Oh, no doubt.
We're going to find out.
And I love me people who go on and on about how it's all about them, and then they quickly say,
right.
I'm not saying it's about me.
Right,
I know. You just said it was about you.
Yeah, of course.
You literally, Odell, went on and on about you kept the brand alive,
you're this, you're that,
and then, quote, I'm not saying it's because of me. You just did, pal.
The biggest takeaway to Odell's Q&A in GQ is simply that he cannot get out of his own feelings. It is all about how happy he is. Is he happy? When is he happy? When was he happiest? Can he become happy yet again? Will the city of Cleveland make him happy? What will make you happy? And when you are so self-involved in your emotions like that, it is very difficult to ever see the team, see the bigger picture, see the day-to-day. He talks in that article about the celebrity of LeBron James or a double standard with Tom Brady or chasing down the records of Jerry Rice. All three of those guys have had huge, enormously successful careers, long careers that weren't about how they felt day-to-day. It was about what they did. And that's the problem, that for Odell, it's far more about how he feels than what he does at this point in his career. You know where Odell would fit perfectly? In Oakland, with a Raiders team that also has a lot of attention on it, despite not being very good. They're going to be featured on Hard Knocks. And Joe Theismann joined 92.9 in Memphis in the Jason and John show, discussing whether the HBO documentary series is going to derail Oakland before the season even begins.
How can you focus on football when you're doing a show called Hard Knocks?
I mean, I agree.
Who do they really? This is one of those things. Who do they really think they're kidding? Who gives a hoot about football when you're doing Hard Knocks? You want to see the guys getting cut. You want to hear the coaches' conversations. You want to hear the criticism. You want to hear the praise. That's all part of football, yes. But I think, you know, John's a television show unto himself. He's a great personality. He's extremely smart, been a dear friend for so many years. I'm glad it's John and not Jay with the Redskins. I think they were also in the running for it. But they've got, you know, this is a huge year for Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. What's he going to be able to do? Now you're in year two with Coach Gruden. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You've got you've added some players to that football team. You've made some unbelievable deals where your number ones are going to have to step up and play. I'm curious about the way John presents the product of football for the Oakland Raiders. You know, and they're getting ready to go to Vegas. Remember that?
Yep.
This is sort of the swan song for them in California, and they're fixing to leave. So I think it'll be entertaining. It's always insightful, but it really gives people a look into our world a little bit of the pain that goes into it. You know, you're basically dashing some guy's dreams and elevating others. So you really see the whole myriad of life in a very short period of time. But to say they're just going to focus on football, give me a break.
Yeah. All right, Joe, are you a believer in Foles and Jacksonville and sort of, right, solidifying that position and taking what's, you know, historically and from year to year been a good defense and getting them back? Would you put them over the Titans in the AFC South? Where do you sort of see Jacksonville with Foles, and then what do you think about the Titans? That's a tough division with the Colts and Houston in as well.
And you know what? It's a great question. We don't know about Nick.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him under Chip Kelly throw 29 touchdown passes, maybe two or three interceptions. So that's the one full body of work we've seen out of Nick. Do I think he can get it done? Yes. He still has a lot to prove.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he parlayed an MVP and a Super Bowl into a big deal down in Jacksonville, but you know they drafted Blake number one down there to be the guy. So I think they have a very good football team around them. Defensively, this could be the window. This could be the window closing for them, so mm-hmm. they have to perform. But I think Nick will make the right kind of decisions because the quarterback position is really about decisions. It's about being decisive and making good decisions. That's what the quarterback position is all about. And everybody's a manager, and I think he'll do a good job there. It's just a question of, you know, are you going to make enough mistakes to lose a game? Are you going to hit the throws you're supposed to? Or are you going to make the right kind of plays to give you a chance to win games? And I think Nick has been through an awful lot. He's got a great amount of experience, and I think it's certainly an upgrade for them at the quarterback position. How far he's going to be able to take them depends on how healthy they stay. But, I mean, it's still a question, though. It really is. It's still a question.
You'd still say you pick Colts, and would you go Houston Titans, or where would you lay out in terms of laying out
again,
those teams?
You know, Deshaun in Houston, Marcus in Tennessee. You know, these are two again young budding stars mm-hmm. in the National Football League. I would probably lean Houston. I think defensively they're maybe a little bit stronger, but Tennessee proved their resiliency with Frank down there as the head coach. And like Jacksonville, to me, becomes one of those wild cards. Mm-hmm. I predicted them to win 11 games last year. Only missed it by, what, 7?
Yeah. You know, Theismann had a good quote there that John Gruden is a TV show himself.
John's a television show unto himself. He's a great personality.
And I think that's part of the problem with Gruden at this point in his career. It's such a show with Gruden. Everything seems to be such a show. Every press conference is such a show. And for the Raiders, one foot out the door heading to Las Vegas, perhaps as early as next year, and obviously a lot of losing in recent years, and a quarterback that is right now on the hot seat as well, and a wide receiver that is a major headache if he doesn't get his way. There is Richie Incognito in the locker room as well. So many things can go wrong for the Raiders, and then to put the cameras in there, to put all the attention on that type of stuff before they even get off the ground, that is a dangerous ticking time bomb with the Raiders, which is a shame because Raiders fans in Oakland deserve a winner before that franchise leaves them for good. Tom Brady was on Instagram, and there's a video of him grabbing his 6-year-old daughter by the hand and jumping into a lagoon, kind of cliff diving. Now, Tom Brady has garnered a lot of criticism from people on social media suggesting that he was bad parenting and being dangerous with his daughter. Is this showing another example of how social media is just a cesspool of negativity? Here's the Fan Morning Show in Pittsburgh on 93.7.
I don't go to Starbucks' page and say, you need to change your coffee because I don't like it. Or by principle like this, there are certain foods I don't like. I don't go to the grocery store because I like other things in the grocery store, just like I like other things on social media. I don't stop and grab the radishes and say at the produce guy, I don't like these radishes. They're disgusting. They're ridiculous. Social media has brought out a lot of people who just can't move past things for the sake of moving past. Like, if you don't like what Tom Brady's doing, why isn't it incumbent upon you to try to comment on it? Why can't you just move past and into things that you enjoy? And that's, I think, the biggest problem with social media. Okay, like a guy walks on the baseball field the other day for the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with me, I said, this is a very weird thing. This guy, you know, it's the barstool mentality as to why people think this is funny, because you want to disseminate everything on the internet. It's not funny at all. It's a security risk. I bet I got 10,000 comments. Oh. I'm a stoolie, barstool. There was five comments. I finished counting at five that said, and I'll paraphrase, isn't your daughter dead yet? That's what we get from social media. Not people that just can't walk past it. One says, what's worse to live with, your fat wife or your daughter who's going to die soon? So that's the kind of stuff we live. Look, I don't want any sympathy. I don't care. Come fight me, you know? I don't care. But the fact that people just can't walk past things they don't like, that's the worst part of social media. You might not like what Tom Brady did. He doesn't care. He's disseminating it to show maybe a girl overcoming his fears or whatever. But again, the problematic portion of it is the audience has to always say something. You always got to say something. Well, you just can't walk.
It's nine times out of ten, it's negative.
Right. I just, again, I don't like radishes. I don't stand in Giant Eagle's produce aisle and say, these radishes suck so bad. They're awful. I can't stand them. Change the radishes. No, because you know what? Other people might like them. So we just keep going past them.
The worst part of that video is that Gronk caught the daughter and then spiked her. And that was, you didn't see most of that.
Did Goodell step in? Was the daughter inflated, though?
We're not sure.
Oh, my. I mean, it's just...
Just have fun on social media. People take it so damn seriously.
When it was... Chris, do you think when social media was like started and enacted and invented, it was meant to disseminate positive things and good things? That's what I think. I don't know about you.
Yeah. It's become the outlet for everybody's bad feelings and negativity
or political
and anger.
Views.
Right.
It's exactly. Become
calm down.
Potatoes. Everybody has 2 cents, even if you don't want to hear it.
Right.
Is what it is. And you can't get away from it.
No, you can unfollow all you want, and somehow it finds you.
Or you can block somebody, but you gotta see it the first time at least.
Right.
In order to know to block.
You know, the guys on the Fan have it right. Social media encourages people to say exactly what they think at everything. And by doing so, we've got people weighing in on things that they don't really need to weigh in on. And I love the example of not going to the grocery store, seeking out the grocer and yelling at him, I don't like your radishes. I think that's hysterical.
I don't like these radishes. They're disgusting. They're ridiculous.
Because there's an element of truth there that on social media, everybody feels empowered to leave their comments about everything and to judge everything. And it leads to a really negative place, a really judgy place where people are just scared now to do anything if you're just somewhat normal. The only people that are fearless about going onto social media and not catching that flack are people that won't put anything on there that's controversial or are looking for the attention by being controversial. It's a bad way right now on social media in today's day and age. Over to baseball. The Chicago Cubs lead of the National League Central is down to a game and a half after another blown lead by the bullpen against the San Francisco Giants. Number one, the Giants are now above 500, which is crazy in this winning streak that they've had. But on the flip side, the Cubs are a team with World Series aspirations, and they need to fix that bullpen. So what extent do they need to go to do it? Here's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score in Chicago.
You read the trade rumors yesterday. We read them yesterday concerning Castellanos. His $4 million that they'd have to absorb would be difficult for them to take on. Now, listen, I'm not telling you that they shouldn't blow a luxury tax out of the water. They should. They should spend whatever it is they have to spend in order to win a World Series. That is the way that I prefer my franchise to operate at all times. when you've got a World Series window open, you prop that baby up with as much cash as you could possibly find. That is the responsibility of owning the franchise. I understand you got to turn a profit. Now is when you go win a World Series. That said, I don't know how much wherewithal the Cubs have to do that. They have been budget conscious all season long. Go back to the winter, and they're talking then. Tom Ricketts on this station said during the winter that Craig Kimbrell's essentially not happening. That changed because of an unforeseen circumstance with Ben Zobrist, obviously. But it was said then. And if you're cash conscious about the one thing that fixes as many problems as Craig Kimbrell would have done then and has done since, then what kind of stomach, what kind of financial wherewithal do you have to go ahead and add somebody that costs as much as Castellanos does, to say nothing of Syndergaard or whatever? I mean, that matters. You know, these kinds of things are the issues that the Cubs are seemingly reticent to deal with.
And you're not even bringing up what it would be cost in prospect resources.
Or 25-man roster resources. Because I would imagine that for some of those names, what, Gallo, Syndergaard, something like that, that takes that, you got to peel somebody off the 25-man for that.
Yeah, but right, but the counter-argument is, if you're not going to do it now, when would you ever do it?
Like, make a trade like that?
Yeah, what are you in this for?
Sure, it's a fair argument to be had, and if you can find someone who is controllable, great, that's wonderful. I do agree that finding your situational bench guy and your matchup type lefty and figuring that's enough to make this team a contender against the Dodgers or even, you know, the Astros or the Yankees or, you know, whoever you're reaching in a World Series, if you're looking that far down the line, which should be the goal, that finding these, I don't know a better way to put it, situational or matchup type bats and or arms, that may no longer be enough.
This is a franchise that spent 108 years searching for a championship, and they finally got it. So there's no way that they should possibly, at this point in time, go cheap on anything. And I know that you're looking for long-term viability. You want this window to be open, so you want to have some sensible, prudent decision-making when it comes to spending money, luxury tax stuff, and also trading away prospects. But the Cubs are a team, once again, good enough to be in the World Series this year. Now, the Dodgers might be the wagon of the National League, but it's not like they can't be beaten, a team that's been beaten in the World Series the last 2 years. So if you're the Cubs, you know, damn it, you've gone more than a century without winning a World Series. You did get one. That doesn't mean you should go on the cheap now. Whatever it takes, fix the bullpen, go out there, fix it, and compete for another championship, because right now, it's just not getting it done. Unfortunately, another scary story out of baseball, where over the weekend in Cleveland, a young three-year-old was hit by a screaming line drive by Francisco Lindor at the Indians game. Now, that child went to the hospital, luckily seems to be doing okay, but it definitely freaked out Lindor, and once again, begs the question, why isn't baseball extending the nets right now, middle of the season, after multiple incidents like this? Here's Bullen Fox on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland.
If a kid gets hurt, say down the first base line, and, you know, he's batting left-handed, obviously, kid gets hurt down the first base line, the last thing he wants to do is step in the batter's box and look to pull the ball because everybody's gathered there. I mean, it's a scary situation, and we look at it in terms of, well, you know, he's a player, he's doing his job, but and there's a human side of it, especially a guy like Frankie. There's very much a human side of these guys.
Yeah, now these guys have to go to the plate and have to think about where they're going to hit the ball, you know, and they're thinking about hitting a kid now. And I guarantee you that Lindor, the rest of this week and maybe going forward, maybe that never leaves him. He's scared that he's going to hurt somebody. And until you're in that position, you don't know how that feels. I don't know how that feels. You don't know how that feels. It's got to be a extremely difficult thing to deal with, knowing that you potentially, you're just doing your job. You're just playing a game. And an innocent bystander could be injured.
Yeah, no, it's sickening. You could tell right away the reaction from Frankie, obviously the comments afterwards. And then he goes on to say, and look, this was something before the All-Star break, because you mentioned Almora and having that happen in Houston. And The thing that bothered me the most was the fact that Rob Manfred, and I know guys on Twitter have been, you know, coming at me with, well, don't you realize that Manfred is simply, the owners are his bosses. Great. But he's still the voice for Major League Baseball. And when Rob Manfred, after something like this happens, and the Almora case is won, and he simply says, well, you know what? And he said it very casually, like, we'll look into this after the season and decide. Not decide what we're going to do, but decide if we have a problem. And it's like, are you going to decide that you have a problem, unfortunately, before it's too late? Like, when it's too late? And that's what really concerns me. And
what I don't get is, what's the downside, Chico, from this? I mean, we've had calls in the past where people have said, you know, pay attention. You know, what are you doing? Why are you taking a kid to a ball game and sitting so close? You know, on your phones doing the, it can happen so fast. I think that's such BS because you could be sitting there at a ball game and literally turn your head for 1 second because someone wants to pass a beer down to someone just bought one, or you know, you're someone asks you a question, you turn your head for a split second and it happens.
I mean, okay? Should
it happen in an instant?
Should we ban, like, when the mascots come up and you know, the after the hot dog races, like, well, you can't have those guys because everybody's going to be distraction. And the slider is in section. Got to get them out of there because everybody's going to be distracted. Like, it's part of the game, but there are measures that you can take that I think are very simple, and I think people are getting too wrapped up in, oh, it's going to be such a distraction, the netting. You know what? The first two games that you go to, it will probably be a bit of a distraction, and then you'll forget about it. And honestly, if this is even about, and there are some out there, adults, males, that are concerned about getting a foul ball, my God, get a life. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, that's absolutely...
If you're going to a baseball game and your only care in the world is, I got to get my foul ball, then you're right, get a life.
Man, baseball must be holding its breath that nothing tragic happened between now and the end of the season. Because you just know by the end of the season, there's going to be some type of regulations enacted by the league office that stadiums are going to have netting X number of feet down the lines, and maybe even all the way from fair pole to fair pole. We've talked about this before on Around the Dial. The absolute worst thing that could happen, the worst nightmare for baseball, is a child dying at the ballpark because it was hit by a line drive, because that's just going to be the worst possible black eye and negative reporting and storyline around baseball when they'll be heading into the pennant races and the playoffs. You just don't want that. So baseball is going to have to change this ruling, and I don't think it's that much to ask all Major League Baseball teams to go at least three quarters down the lines with netting to protect children and people at the ballpark that might not be paying attention or don't have the quick action reflexes to get out of the way. Finally, to basketball, James Harden and Chris Paul. That didn't work. James Harden and Dwight Howard. That didn't work. James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Can that work? Here's the brand new radio team on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Clint Sterner and Rich Kamler.
Let all the hot takes get out of here. And let me ask my man Rick Kamler, can Westbrook and James Harden coexist? That's all I care about. That's all Houston wants to know is, can James Harden and Westbrook coexist? And how's it going to happen, Rick Kamler?
Clint, the answer is yes. And it's because they weren't put together. They wanted to be together. So you're going to have two superstars. They're not like, yo, I'm not really feeling this guy. Like, this isn't my team anymore. They actually want to play together. So the intangibles of this, Clint, are going to be great. The tangibles are obviously already there. We're talking about two guys who aren't future Hall of Famers. They're future all-time greats. They're at that special, extraordinary cut of Hall of Famer. Not the Ralph Sampson, Chris Mullin, Dikembe Mutombo cut of Hall of Famer. No disrespect to those guys. They're at that neck.
Don't disrespect the finger now.
There's no disrespect at all.
My guy.
But Dikembe Mutombo is a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon is an all-time great.
I'm with
you.
So
we're getting all-time great guys coming together. Clint, they want to play together. So for that reason, they're, 75% of the way there? Just the fact that they're looking across and saying, I like that guy. I want to play with that guy. We know that Russell Westbrook did not like playing with Kevin Durant. And we know that Kevin Durant did not like playing with Russell Westbrook. Now, Paul George and Russ got along for a couple of years. They made it work. But obviously, it was not all peaches and cream, because the first opportunity Paul George got to go back home to Southern California, he took it.
He was on the first thing smoking, wasn't he? And demanded a
trade. First thing smoking. So these guys want to play together, which is critical. But Clint, let me give you some even bigger intel. Initially, being a jaded, cynical, almost 20-year journalist with the NBA, and knowing the usage rate of Russell Westbrook, the usage rate of James Harden, and just how ball dominant they are and how alpha dog they are. Oh, man, I don't know if this is going to work, right? That was my first knee-jerk reaction. But, Clint, then I got to work, and I talked to player after player after player after player in Las Vegas. Dennis Scott, Isaiah Thomas, Caron Butler, on down the line of NBA TV analysts, other people in the arena, arenas that I was in, and just bouncing it off ball players because they know more than I do. You know more about the NFL than I do.
I don't know if we know more than you do. It's a different perspective, but I love the fact that you're willing to talk to these players and go, let me do a little due diligence.
Yeah, so
let me
it's
do
not,
a little due diligence and make sure that what I'm thinking makes sense.
So every single ball player that I talked to said, I guarantee you it's going to work. Every single one. There was not one outlier who said, I don't know. You know, the city ain't big enough for the two of them. You know, there's only one ball. I never heard one ball player say that. And the reason why is they said that the overall talent of these two players, we're not talking about two talented players. We're talking about two of the most supremely talented players who have ever laced them up and bounced an orange ball. Their greatness is why it's going to work. So I think it's pretty cool that a lot of media people, and initially I was one of them, said, I don't know. Like, I don't know if these guys are going to be butting heads, trying to steal the ball away from each other or what. Then, as you said, I did my due diligence, talked to all these ball players, and I was like, you know what? I'm not a flip-flopper, but when I get some intel and when I get some good info, I can tweak my opinion. And I had to tweak my opinion, Clint. I think it's going to work.
James Harden says it's going to be fine, and I'm sure Rockets fans are going to be optimistic at the time, but there is so much that could go wrong there. And we know just from styles and personalities and Russell Westbrook how volatile and furious he can be. There is a lot that can go wrong. And saying that it's going to work now from James Harden, I understand that optimism, but that's way different than where we sit on December 25th on Christmas when people are wondering, how the heck is this going to go? It's a lot different. It's a lot different now to be optimistic than what we actually see. And I'm pessimistic. I'm cynical that this can actually work to the point where they actually get to an NBA Finals and compete for a championship. That's the Best in Your Sports Talk for Tuesday, July the 23rd. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Oh.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.